Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, our final Friday with you for a couple of weeks as we go into the holiday season. Some show notes: if you're looking for some pro wrestling tonight, you have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana, located at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue. Saturday, Devotion Championship Wrestling in Salt Lake City, Utah. Diamond Championship Wrestling in Pascagoula, Mississippi. IWA Mid-South in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. NAWA in Daytona Beach, Florida. And All-Star Wrestling with a show in Gilbert, West Virginia tomorrow night. Also, I will be at the Northwest Pro Gym Wars, which is a streaming show. No fans in attendance for the Gym Wars, but we will stream it on the Northwest Pro Facebook and Twitter page, I believe. So make sure you tune in for that. Our guest not arrived yet, but QT, lots of things going on. Also, there is a Christmas show happening in Tennessee, MSWA, presenting a Christmas night show featuring Ox Harley and, if he's out of jail, legendary Larry D.
Oh, well, sign on that Northwest Pro show. Can they stream items off in the concession stand? Can you get a bowl of streaming hot soup?
You cannot. I don't know how you would stream a piping hot bowl of soup through a live stream of a show. But, I mean, you could always get yourself a nice cup of soup from your local deli and then eat that while you watch the stream.
What's your favorite instant soup?
What was that?
What's your favorite instant soup?
Instant soup?
Yeah.
Well, I'm always a fan of potato soup. We'll go with potato.
Oh, okay. I can make a good mushroom soup from scratch.
Now, are we talking golden mushrooms?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say shiitake.
Oh, okay. Now, do you think Shinsuke Nakamura eats shiitake mushrooms?
Oh boy, that's quite a question. Yes, we'll have to ask her if we ever get her on.
Did you just call Shinsuke Nakamura a she?
A he. A she he. Yes. I hear that transgenderism might be something. Yes.
Not that I've noticed from Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, if you tune in tonight at FS1 for a special 1 week only appearance on FS1 from WWE SmackDown, probably you'll see that Shinsuke Nakamura, definitely a man.
I was so hoping.
Well, I think your hopes have been dashed.
Not a very good candidate, huh?
Well, it doesn't appear to be.
Well, okay.
Well, maybe you could switch and, you know, join the other side, then maybe something would happen.
Well, that would be politically correct thing to do, yes. Yes.
So are you on board with the idea?
How much would this cost, though?
I'm guessing several thousands of dollars.
Quite a bit. Maybe. I mean, maybe. I mean, don't they have some pre-counseling leading up to this to get you ready for the moment?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, counseling. Boy, now the overhead is starting to really rev up. Yes. Boy. Okay. Well,
yeah, but think of all the money you've saved by renting South Park Bellinger's back room over the years.
Well, that's true. He does charge quite a bit. Yes. You've got a point
there.
Yeah,
but would he charge you more than if you'd bought a mansion on Mercer Island?
Ooh, Mercer Island. Now, there's a spendy place. I heard the Hart sisters lived there for a little bit.
Are you talking like Diana Hart and her sisters from Calgary, Alberta, Canada? The sisters of Brett the Hitman Hart?
Ooh, if they were on Mercer Island, property values would go even further up. Yes. Everyone wants a Bret Hart dynasty member near them. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you're the one that suggested that they already live there.
Well, think how safe the neighborhood is with a Hart Foundation member living near you. You wouldn't want to have Bret pay you a visit in the middle of the night, Bret Hart.
Probably not. Even in his weakened state, he'd probably give you a rough time if you were causing problems.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah.
Boy. Now, QT, who would you say is your favorite Hart sister? Is it perhaps Diana Hart Smith? Is it Ellie? Is it Georgia? Which of the Hart sisters is your favorite?
Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, may we ask why you picked Georgia as your favorite Hart sister?
You and I share a love for the same instant soup. Did you know this?
Oh, I did not.
It's bean with bacon.
Oh, okay.
Bean with bacon. Now, Sign, a lot of our Turnbuckle listeners want to know if you're going out of town on Christmas.
Not likely. If they stay tuned to the Sign of the Times, they'll know exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. I did not see the most recent Sign of the Times. Can you tell us what number and where the location was at?
It is located on the YouTubes. It was episode 457, I believe. Let me take a quick look here and make sure I didn't just screw up the number. And I did. It's 458, the New Hart edition.
Oh, the New Hart.
Yes. Now, QG, can you tell us why you failed to watch episode 458 of The Sign of the Times, the New Hart edition?
I was prepping, get this, for a fire alarm test that is mandatory by I think it's the state. It's state law that they have to come in and test the fire alarms. So I was prepping the apartment a little for their arrival. They have to look at the
long?
I went very slow, very slow.
I would think so. Now, did you pass this fire alarm test?
It was a multiple choice test, believe it or not, written test, and yes, I passed. Multiple choice test.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, QT,
sprinkler head.
Did you know that your favorite Hart sister, Georgia, was the mother of current independent professional wrestler Teddy Hart?
I did not.
She certainly is. Now, she was married to a man that was briefly a professional wrestler himself, as all of Stu Hart's daughters were. She was married to a guy named B.J. Anus, and he not only ran a successful gym in Calgary, he briefly wrestled.
Oh, Oh, wow, a gym, in Calgary. Okay. Holy smokes. Was it?
I don't know if either of them smoked or not.
It wasn't a Gold's franchise, was it?
I don't believe so. I believe he ran it independently.
Now, Ryan, speaking of people that use gyms a lot, were you as shocked as I was at the sad passing of Zeus Lesnar? Tiny Zeus.
I believe you mean Tiny Lister, who played Zeus.
Lister, yes, Tiny Zeus,
yes.
Lister.
Yes, yes. Yeah, very sad. He passed away last week in his 60s. Very sad passing, of course. He was known for several movies, but once they came out with No Holds Barred, he dabbled in the world of professional wrestling. He wrestled primarily against Hulk Hogan, but he also went to Puerto Rico where he wrestled Abdullah the Butcher, and then made a brief comeback in WCW under the name Z Gangsta.
Yes, he was only 62. 62. That's early. Yes. And, you know, I always liked him in his role as Debo on Fridays, the movie Fridays, with Ice Cube.
Yes. He had several movies under his belt, I believe. That was just some of his more well-known pieces of work.
That's true. And you know who one of his favorite people of all time was as an actor and a friend? John Candy.
Is it Macho Man Randy Savage?
Nope, John Candy. He was very close to John Candy. He thought Zeus thought the world of him. Yes.
Oh. I did not know that. I do know that Zeus did team with Macho Man Randy Savage at SummerSlam to take on the team of Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah. Well, how'd Hogan and Beefcake do?
They won the match.
Oh, okay. Well, at this moment, I'm going to try to look up. Now, this will take a second. And I'm going to do a quick search of what movies Zeus did. Mr. Listener.
Oh, okay. What should I do while you do your research?
Can you... Let me see now. What would I... let me see. Can you tell us when Randy Zellers will be on next to help us with the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show? Oh, okay, this Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, that was
all
quick.
Right, well,
did you look up all the movies?
I'm almost typed in here.
Oh.
Second.
You should have asked me something with a little bit more degree of difficulty.
All right. Why don't you look up Rocky Graziano, Tony Zale, The Trio of Fights, do a quick Wikipedia search, and tell our listeners when the first fight was held. I believe it was 1946 in Madison Square Garden. Can you confirm this?
Well, I can try, but now we're both researching stuff.
Oh, yes.
I was hoping for something that wasn't just people listening to us both research stuff.
Well, that's why I tried to type extra loud.
Oh, wow, okay. Now, who is Graziano's opponent you wanted to know?
Tony Zale. He was,
oh, where's
I believe...
Tony Zale?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like the 10th of June, 1948.
Oh, no, that was like their... I can believe that was their third fight. Third fight.
Are you sure?
No, I think the first fight was 1946. Yeah.
Let's see. You're right. September 27, 1946 at Yankee Stadium.
Okay, Yankee Stadium. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, that Tony Zale, I believe he was his straight job was a farmer in Indiana. He's from Indiana, I believe.
Now, do you know which town in Indiana?
No, not even. I don't know that. Don't know that, but okay. All right, here we go. I brought up Tiny Lister, Zeus. Let me see here. It says WWE superstar. Let me see if he has a discography of movies. Oh, wow. Let me see here. Upcoming movies. They say, okay, The All-Nighter, Renegades, Night Walk, and 60 Minutes to Kill. They say that those were his upcoming movies. That's quite a list. Let me try this All-Nighter, what this was about. Okay. Directed by Tamer Simon-Hoffs with Susanna Hoffs. She's with the Bengals. Susanna Hoffs. Okay. Wait a second. Okay, that was a misprint. The All-Nighter was made in 87. Okay,
That's
Susanna
a huge discrepancy right there.
Yeah, they had a big title misprint here. Let me see. Joan Cusack was in the movie. Let me see. A Southern California co-ed parties with her roommates and flirts with a surfer next door. Well, that doesn't – okay, 2 stars out of 5. It looked like it bombed. However, okay, let me see. There he is, Tommy, Tiny Lister. Justin Bateman was in there. Wasn't she on Justin Bateman. Facts of
Justine
Love.
Bateman? Justine Bateman was famous from the hit TV series Family Ties.
Oh yeah, Family Ties. Okay. Wow. Okay, now let me see. Wikipedia, Tiny List. Okay. Ooh, boy, this looks like a comedy. It couldn't have been. Well, maybe. Okay. Molly Hoffs, Val Fichtner, and Gina Cusack are graduating college, but on their final night, flirtations are aired. Molly is still looking for real love, and Val is beginning to doubt if that is what she has found. Gina is too busy videotaping everything. It still must have been in the age of VHS. When the final party at Pacifica College kicks off, things don't go exactly as planned. Ooh, that sounds spicy. Okay. Now, let me see. John Terlisky plays CJ. Pam Grier was in it? Holy smokes. Pam Grier, okay. Sergeant McLeish. Doug Cho is Uncle Vance. Well, it doesn't. Where is Tiny Lister? They say the cast. What? Ooh, boy, this is weird.
May have had a very tiny role at that point.
Yeah. Boy, okay. Let me see now. Tiny Lister. Maybe he was a villain. Tamer Hoffs called the film as sort of a beach party movie intended for kids from 14 to 16. Well, I'm always in myself into Annette Funicello Film Festival. Yes. Oh, boy. Let me see now. The budget was only $1 million. Still, that was in 1987, so I guess that wasn't too bad. The New York Times called it outstandingly dim. Boy. The film, according to motion picture historian Leonard Martin, was grotesque in the AIDS era, although it would be a stinker in any age. Ooh, boy, this got ripped. Susanna Hoffs later said it was such a low-budget quickie thing, a cutesy little teeny bopper movie. It wasn't a great movie, but the whole experience of it was great. Ooh, boy. Maybe Tiny Zeus was glad that he wasn't mentioned. Okay, that all-nighter, that's something I wouldn't want to see.
Oh boy.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I only spend my time with quality movies. Yes.
Oh wow.
Only top quality. Yes. Just like my coffee.
Now, QT, did you know one of the things that Tiny Lister did was he appeared on the premiere episode of Star Trek Enterprise playing a Klingon named Klang. If you go by the chronology of events as far as when they happened rather than when the series was produced, he would have been the first Klingon introduced to the Star Trek universe.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's not bad. Okay. That sounds like a pretty good role.
Now, are you going to go out and get the first season of Star Trek Enterprise so you can watch that?
I think I might, yes.
That'd be huge.
Well, I just came upon a quote, and I think it's from him. I love the shot put. I think there's a list of quotes here, but it doesn't say.
If you hear from Lance Dean, I'm going to be really upset.
Oh, now this could be from Lance Dean. Listen to this. I love the shot put because you win or lose by yourself. Either I get exposed or I dominate. I always dominated because I trained to dominate. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that must have been from Zeus. Yes. I don't think I've ever heard Lance Dean say he threw the shot put. Not, but it could have been, maybe. Okay. Here's another quote right below the shot put quote. I'm in Madagascar 2. I'm Pesty the Lion. The franchise moves to Africa, and Bernie Mac is also in the film. I loved working for DreamWorks on that film. Woo! He was in a film with Bernie Mac.
An animated one at that.
Boy, holy smokes. How old was Bernie Mac when he passed? About the same age as Tiny was, right?
That I'm not entirely sure.
Well, Lister was 62. I'm going to do a quick. Boy, that is still pretty young. Let me see now. Bernie Mac. Oh, boy. I'm going to say he was in his, probably 50s. Maybe early 50s. Okay. He was born 1957, died the 8th. So that's 67, 77, 87, 97, 07. Oh, only 51. Ooh. Gee, that's 51. Boy, Bernie Mac. Ooh.
Now, how did he pass away?
Well, let me see. Health problems, illness. Let me click on this. Okay. In the final 3 years of his life, Mac publicly disclosed that he had suffered from sarcoidosis.
I wonder if it took him 3 years to say it. That's a long one.
Man, it is. SARCOID, sarcoidosis, OSIS. A disease of unknown origin that causes inflammation of tissue. Sarcoidosis frequently attacks his lungs. Oh. In 2008, Mac was admitted to Northwestern Memorial Hospital in his hometown of Chicago. After a week of unsuccessful medical treatment, Mac went into cardiac arrest. Ooh. And subsequently died during the early morning hours of August 9th from complications of pneumonia. He was 2 months shy of his 51st birthday. Jeez. 7,000 people were in attendance at a public funeral after his death. Gee whiz. Including Chris Rock, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, Samuel L. Jackson, Ashton Kutcher, Don Cheadle, and the cast members from the Bernie Mac Show and his Kings of Comedy fellows. Ooh, and Steve Harvey. Holy smoke, 50, not even 51. Gee whiz. Bernie Mac.
Now, did you ever watch his film, Mr. 3000?
No, what was that about?
It was a baseball movie.
Oh. Now, did he play it? Oh, wait a second. That's when he finds out he was one hit short of 3,000, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw clips of it. I mean, clips as of I saw where he was pretty upset and he had to go back into training and the players were saying how old he was and stuff and kind of ribbing him. He wanted that one hit.
Now, do you think you'll go back and watch the entire movie knowing that Bernie Mac only passed away at 51?
Yes, I think so. That will be the reason for it, you know.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now, after you watch Mr. 3000 QT, will you then watch Mr. Baseball starring Tom Selleck?
Mr. Baseball, yes.
Yes. I'd say Mr. Baseball is maybe one of the more underrated baseball films you'll ever find.
How about that guy played, I think it was, you know, it wasn't Robert Redford, The Natural. Who played in The Natural?
Yeah, that was Robert Redford.
Oh, okay. Yes. He has a lightning bolt on his baseball bat.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Hey, here's a Bernie Mac quote. I don't ever watch myself. By watching, you try to perfect yourself. Become a robot. Ooh, I like robots.
You do love robots.
That's true, yes. The future is very near.
Oh, wow. Now, QT, speaking of the future, do you have any type of quote from Pat Riley, I don't know, let's say in one of his books, that could be attributed to the future?
Oh, okay, just one moment. I happen to have the Pat Riley book right near me. Just one second.
Oh, wow, this will be huge.
Let me see a quote. Let's see. Let me see a quote. Riley's rule on beating the sympathy. Here's page 85. And this is in a box. It's between paragraphs. Riley's rule on beating the sympathy syndrome. Giving yourself permission to lose guarantees a loss. If you don't steal yourself to other people's sympathy, you cheat yourself and your team. Shoulda, coulda, and woulda won't get it done. In attacking adversity, only a positive attitude, alertness, and regrouping to basics can launch a comeback.
Well, that's not bad.
Oh, okay. Now, would you yourself like me to read from page 84 in a box?
I think I would.
Riley's Rules of the Creek Pump. After you have invested your total effort in priming the pump, performance seems to flow along effortlessly. But when a thunderbolt takes away one or two of the key players, the rest of the team must stage an enormous increase in effort to keep the flow of success constant.
Well, that makes sense.
It says, rocked by adversity, people often get so much empathy and caring poured on them that their own misfortune actually starts to feel good, sort of special. What a tough break, everybody tells them. You don't deserve it. What soothing consolation. But sympathy is like junk food. It has no real nourishment. The emptiness comes back very quickly, and nothing gets accomplished in the meantime. There is never really any release from the consequences of adversity until you decide to do something about them. Wow. Okay, that's strong words. Very good.
Well, does that make you less sympathetic now?
I'd say empathetic, empathy.
Oh, okay.
There's quite the difference between empathy and sympathy.
That is true.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, Sign, I'm not sure if our guest is going to show up. This is terrible.
I think Lance Dean had something to do with this.
That could be, yes.
That could be. Now, I say we wrap this up pretty quickly. However, I can't leave out without going out on a high note. Why don't you pick a page and I will read from another box before we do?
Just 172?
172. Okay, just one second. 172. Is there any reason why you have 172 in your mind?
It just seemed like that would be a great number.
Oh, okay.
And I presume that was the weight of Pat Riley when he wrote the book.
You could be right there, yes. Yes. Okay, well, this page doesn't have a box. What paragraph would you like me to start?
The third one.
While we suffered rough spots and turnovers, Boston played flawlessly through the first half and built an 8-point lead. The second half opened with a shooting clinic taught by Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. Now, I'd like to take a quick time out here. Did you ever see the Cheers one where Kevin McHale was on the show? I'm 99.9.
I saw both of his episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had two episodes of Cheers.
All right. By the middle of the third period, we were down in the swamp, trailing by 17 points. Then Michael Thompson combined with some of the starters to tear off a 14-2 run in 5 minutes. It's rare for a new player to mesh right away, but Michael was a rare player. When the game was all over, he had deflected 2 enemy passes and given a 10-point, 4-rebound performance in a 106-103 win. Getting the missing part reclaimed our status as the winningest team in the league. Ooh, wow. Okay, that must have been let me see. We finished up a deal that brought us Michael Thompson. The Boston Celtics arrived in our arena just 2 days later for a nationally televised game. I wonder who they got for Michael Thompson.
I'm not sure who they traded to get him. It had to be someone pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can Google it. While I Google it, why don't you hum something?
No, I instead of humming, I'm going to read from the box on 173, right next to the page I just read from.
Oh, okay.
Ryle's rule of the missing part. Whenever a team augments itself with a missing part, odds are high others will slack off in areas where the specialist is strong. Only if leadership monitors the impact of the addition and acts as enforcer can the missing parts boost be upheld throughout the system. Well, now let me see. Where did Michael Thompson come from? Okay. Let me see. Peter Gudmundsson had gone down with a disc injury in training camp. A week into the season, we had picked up a big, strong, hardworking kid named Mike Smerk, S-M-R-A-K. But growing up in Canada, he had trained in hockey instead of basketball. Well, let me see. But they still drafted him? Mike Smerk.
Apparently.
Anytime Kareem needed a rest, the drop-off skill was extreme. We needed a versatile, thoroughly skilled player right now. Okay, on Friday, February 13th, only hours before the trading deadline, Jerry West finished up a deal that brought us Michael Thompson. Yeah, but it doesn't say who. who they got from them. Let me see. Huh. We were into Michael Thompson. We were who'd they give up? Doesn't say.
Frank Perkowski.
Okay. Well, I think the Lakers got the better of that deal.
I think you're right, although Frank Borkowski, one of the more underrated Sonics of his day, he was instrumental in them reaching the NBA Finals. But, QT, our guest has joined us, so let's bring her on right away. We are joined by Space Jesus Billy Starks. Welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Sorry I'm a little bit late.
Better late than never. We appreciate you joining us, and since today is the first time that you're joining us, we're going to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. How did you get into the crazy business of pro wrestling?
So I was introduced to wrestling from my stepfather, Mouse, who's a photographer, and then I started training at Grindhouse Pro Wrestling, who I was told about through Madman Pondo, because I always joked about, hey, Pondo, when are you going to start training me? And then he introduced me to Too Tough Tony, who ran my training school. So that's how I got into wrestling.
Too Tough Tony is a pretty good teacher. I've been on a few shows with him. And when I watch you wrestle, I don't necessarily get the sense of Too Tough Tony or Madman Pondo, which isn't unheard of in wrestling, but do you think style-wise a lot of people look at you and they connect you to either Too Tough Tony or a Madman Pondo?
Absolutely not, because both of them are crazy. But I think I have my own style of wrestling that people get gravitated towards sometimes.
I agree with you there for sure. Now, you've been traveling around quite a bit already. You're not too far into your career, still pretty young into it, but you've made a lot of different stops and a lot of places so far. What do you think of the travel aspect in wrestling? I know a lot of times it can be a real grind in there. Do you enjoy the travel?
I'm one of those people, I love always traveling and not staying in the same place. So that's why, like, with COVID and everything, it kind of, like, hit me hard when it first happened, because I was like, I don't know what to do being trapped in the house. But traveling has always been a really fun time for me. The only thing I don't like about it is, like, right after I wrestle, I have to sit in the car, because I'm just like, I want to move. My body is sore.
I can definitely relate to that, no doubt about that. Now, one of the things that you recently did, when I say recent, it's been a few months now, but you took part in the collective, and you had a pretty successful couple of days there in Indianapolis as part of the collective. I know you had several matches over the course of it. What was that experience like for you?
I love the collective so much. It was one of those times during this COVID period that I, like, honestly was like, oh, I love wrestling again. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. And it was a very awe moment for me, because it was like you could hear people again. Like, it was just this crowd, and it was still safe. Everybody was spread out. Everybody got their temperature checked. It was still being safe as much as possible with what was happening, and we were still allowed to put on a great show for everybody. And I thought Collective Weekend was really big for me, because I was given so many great opportunities to wrestle.
Absolutely, you did. Now, at the Collective, you had one little bump in the road there. You took what some people in your area refer to as the sign guy bump, where you made a little uncomfortable landing on the floor. I have done that myself, which is how the bump got its name. Hopefully that'll be the last, like, injury you have for a while, but we all know injuries are just part of the wrestling business. Outside of that, have you had any injury issues that you've had to overcome?
literally my first match, I've had a sprained ankle, and then that was my only other injury from wrestling, and it still wasn't bad. I remember hitting the floor, and I'm going, oh, I'm fine, because, like, I did cheerleading before I did wrestling, so I have passed out before, like, blacked out, and I, like, opened my eyes, and I'm like, oh, I didn't black out. I don't feel dizzy. I'm fine. And everybody rushes me, and I was like, oh, it's because I fell. I'm fine, guys. And then they're like, no, you're bleeding. And I'm like, I'm fine. So, like, in my head, it's like, oh, I just, like, scraped my head. Because, like, you know how you, like, scrape your knee? In my head, it was, like, the same thing. I was like, oh, I'm fine. Get to the back, it's, like, actually opened up. But it wasn't bad at all. They, like, put a few staples in my head, and I was good to go.
I was in the exact same situation myself, so I understand exactly what you mean. And we were not fine. We were not quite fine, but I'm glad you didn't have any long-lasting effects, even though I did because you terrified at me at the time. But glad you're back to being healthy in there and there wasn't anything serious. Now, this time of year, obviously, wrestlers make a lot of their money at the merchandise table, and especially at this point in the year, a lot of wrestlers are selling more merchandise than ever because of the holiday season and people are buying gifts for wrestling fans. I know you have some merchandise out there. If someone wants to get those last-minute pieces of merchandise, what do they have to choose from as far as you go, and how would they acquire that?
So I'm on Pro Wrestling Tees, and then I also have a big cartel that people can order stuff of. And then I am currently selling postcards of me and Thumper, my pet rabbit, and you just send me $3 through PayPal or PayPal, Cash App, and Venmo, all of those. And you can get one.
One of the things that a lot of wrestling fans ask for this time of year and for the last several years is a book on wrestling. Books have become very popular pieces of memorabilia for fans. Do you personally have a favorite wrestling-related book that you've read?
I remember reading one of Mick Foley's books, and that was one that I really, really enjoyed reading. And then I read another one. What was it? It was like an audio book me and my dad listened to on a car ride in Florida. I can't remember the name of it, and he's going to yell at me about it later.
You can throw the heat on me if it helps. I'll take that. Now, pre the world sort of closing down, in the last couple of years, a lot of independent-based wrestlers have been heading over to Europe to wrestle. It's sort of opened up for independent wrestlers over there in various countries in Europe. They have a little bit of a different style than American wrestling, and a lot of times the shows are presented in a different way compared to what we're accustomed to here. Is going to Europe something that's ever been on your radar?
Absolutely. Like, I want to travel the world. One of my goals is to be in Europe. Also, another one is to go to Japan. I currently take Japanese as my language in school because, like, in my head, I want to be able to wrestle all over the world.
I don't doubt that you'll definitely get your chance. Now, when you look at the world, obviously it's kind of exciting because there's a lot out there. But looking just at the United States, I'm sure there's a lot of places that you haven't been to as of yet. Well, I know there are several seats you haven't hit yet. Are there any areas of this country that, for whatever reason, seem to be a little bit more of interest of you going to but than, like, the other ones? Or are all the states kind of equal for you?
I just, like, want to go wherever wrestling is. In my head, I would love to travel more towards my head's blinking for a second. I'm sorry. More towards the East Coast, because I really haven't got to venture out there much, and I would love to go see what it's like.
Lots of wrestling up and down the East Coast, so I think you'll be very happy there once you get there. Well, at this time, my co-host QT is with us, and I'm sure QT has a few questions, so I'm going to pass things to him for a minute.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Billy.
Hello.
Billy, I saw your YouTube video entitled Billy Starks versus Brooklyn Creed / NLP, that's New Level Pro, Women's Championship, and the video was posted of March this year. Now, we at Turnbuckle Turmoil are experts at chronologically analyzing most of our guests' entrance music. I talked to Sign Guy, and he believes your entrance music in this match was Hand of Doom by Black Sabbath, while I think it was Season of the Witch by 60s superstar Donovan. Which one of us is correct?
I don't even remember if I was using my old music or my new music at that point. I think I was still using my old music, and I don't think it's either.
Oh, okay. I mean, does that mean you haven't heard Hand of Doom by Black Sabbath?
Ooh.
Hand of Doom by Black Sabbath.
Did I lose you guys?
No. Does this mean you haven't heard the song Hand of Doom by Black Sabbath?
No, I don't think I've heard either of the songs.
Oh, okay. Well, Black Sabbath being a group. And you haven't heard Season of the Witch by Donovan?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to be honest, Billy, like, my music taste is very strange. I get told it's very strange all the time.
Oh, well, now, can you name a group, any group from the 70s that is on your playlist? Any group?
Oh, God. Probably not. I listen to a lot of new school music.
So you wouldn't know, you probably wouldn't be familiar with the Partridge Family?
Absolutely not. Unless
oh, come
my
on.
Parents have played them before? Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, Billy, I was mad at the referee in this match with your match with Brooklyn Creed, because he did not check out you or Brooklyn Feed for foreign objects. My question is, have you ever been in the ring in a mixed gender match, and has your opponent pulled out an athletic cup and used it on you like an anesthesia mask in the opening round, like the ideal reflection Christopher Rysik does to his opponents here in the Northwest?
I've been in a few intergender matches, but that has never happened to me, luckily.
No one's ever pulled out an athletic cup and used it as an anesthesia mask, okay?
No.
Okay. Well, Billy, if you freeze this wrestling video at the 2:51 mark, viewers of the video can see that on your right arm, you are wearing what appears to be a pad with the letters FHY on it. Can you tell our listeners what these letters mean?
So, that was a group I was part of. I'm no longer part of it. It's called IFHY. It was Indiana Foundation of Hateful Youth. And it was just a bunch of kids from the Midwest that were like family, but it's no longer a thing.
Did you ever gather with this family at Denny's to drink coffee like the goth kids?
Actually, we've done some late night dinner trips that were kind of interesting. Was a Diddy outing at one point. I think it was after a girl fight show, and we went to Denny's, and it was a great time.
Oh, okay, because the goth kids on South Park drink at coffee at Denny's, yes, and read on Poe. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Billy, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil to strengthen our brains to ward off Alzheimer's. It's called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, and you have to make a semi-rapid choice between two subject matters of which you prefer. Are you ready to play Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk?
I am ready.
All right. Step over, armbar, camel clutch, or mandible claw?
Mandible claw.
All right. Three-quarter face lock or standing head scissors?
One more time, you cut out.
Three-quarter face lock or standing head scissors?
Standing head scissors.
All right. Bear hug or abdominal stretch?
Bear hug.
All right. Boston Crab or Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob?
Mr. Krabs.
Okay. Figure four leg lock or spinning toe hold?
Spinning toe hold.
Ooh, okay.
You did a spin-a-rooney.
Okay. Very, very good. All right. Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair?
Becky.
Okay. Alexa Bliss or Paige? Naomi or Renee Young?
Naomi.
Nation of Domination with Ron Simmons or the Bollywood Boys with Sameer and Suni Singh?
Bollywood Boys.
Okay. Sensational, Sherry Martel or China?
Oh, China.
All right. Let me see. I have an extension here. Let me see. Okay. Slade, one-way hotel. Oh, no way. Slade, Come on, Feel the Noise, or Quiet Riot's version?
Quiet Riot.
Okay. Mama, We're All Crazy Now by Slade, or Mama, We're All Crazy Now by Joan Jett? Okay. Roger the Space Alien on American Dad or Gene on Bob's Burgers?
Oh, Roger. Roger, easy.
Oh, okay. All right. Napoleon Dynamite or Terminator 1?
Ooh, Terminator.
Terminator, okay. Morticia Adams or Lillian Munster?
Lillian Munster.
Okay, and the last one. French fry or tater tots?
Oh, definitely French fries. But tater tots can be hidden different sometimes.
Yes. Yes. You know, you can have like a green beans in a mushroom soup like thing topped with bacon and tater tots, like a tater tot casserole.
That sounds so good. But wouldn't it just be a hash brown casserole?
It could be a hash brown casserole, yes. I'm not getting into semantics here. Oh, okay. Well, Billy, you did very well on Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, bearing in mind that there are no wrong answers. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to the Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Billy, one of the things that wrestlers encounter, especially on the independent circuit, is we all have some of those matches that we walk away from thinking that was a really strange match, whether it's because of the stipulations or just how the match went or from the reaction of the fans. It just seems a little bit stranger than most. What would you say to this point has been your strangest match?
Ooh. Probably one of the earlier matches I did during the first year of my career. I did, I think it was a four-way, and we had a special ref who was like this guy who was scared of girls, but then also didn't like me. It was very confusing. So, like, we had to tell that story, and this guy was, like, just a real bad ref. So it, like, left the fans really confused when we were trying to convey that story, because it was, like, a weekly thing we built up to, and not everybody was there every week to understand it.
That is a tough thing when you have to story tell, and people are there only, like, one out of three or four weeks, so I can definitely see that.
It's hard to catch everybody back up.
I definitely can relate to that. Speaking of referees, they are sometimes one of the more overlooked and underappreciated aspects of pro wrestling. A lot of times, a good referee can save a bad match, and if you have a bad referee, they can make a good match seem a lot worse than it is. I know you've had quite a few different referees for your matches in your career so far. Who would you say are some of the better ones out there that may not get the appreciation they deserve?
Ooh. Celeste, that I've worked with a few times, who is a girl ref down in Tennessee, I will say that she's one of the better ones I've worked with. Even though I do not like him as a person, I will give Sean P., who is in my area, he's one of the better referees, and he never gets in the way, so I'll let him have the good rest.
I'm sure if it happened, it was intentionally, like, unintentional, but have you ever had a collision with the referee during the course of a match?
I've had, like, only, like, one incident, and it was partially my fault because I don't think he knew I was coming, like, his direction, because, like, he was just not paying attention because I think he, like, turned to go do something. Like, he was setting something down, and then the girl just tossed me, and I was like, you know what? It's fine. Yeet. He was okay. He stumbled for a minute and was like, what the heck? And then it was fine after that.
We talked a little bit ago about your traveling around the United States, and you want to travel to Japan and England, all the countries. But up to this point, what would you say has been the farthest trip that you've made for wrestling?
Either to New Jersey or to Texas. I don't know which one's further, probably Texas, but I'm bad at, like, keeping track of the time because in my head, I don't have to drive. I'm just sitting here. So those are probably the two longest drives I've done. And, like, both of them feel, like, normal at this point because it's just wrestling. In my head, oh, it's a drive. We'll be fine.
Now, years ago, you wouldn't have gotten away with that because the old rule used to be you don't sleep on the road trip. But I'm sure things are a little bit different for you as with your situation. Having a stepdad that is a well-known photographer in your area, a lot of people don't really consider how important photographers are in pro wrestling, but they're very important. They provide us with promo pictures, which we can sell to make money at it. They kind of record almost like a journal of your career that you'll have long after you're done in the ring. They can help out with magazines and programs. They're very, very important parts in wrestling. In your situation, your stepdad's pretty well known and pretty respected, but do you think, by and large, based on what you've seen, that photographers get the amount of credit that they're really due?
I don't believe photographers sometimes get the credit that they are due because of how much work they put in the photos. Like, Mouse spends hours and hours editing photos. And then he also thinks about, like, the travel time he's getting there, the pictures he's taking. And it, honestly, that is so much more work than, like, I think people give it credit to. And then it's also those for memory's sake. Like, these are memories that are being captured that otherwise wouldn't be.
Absolutely. Our old buddy pal, Madman Pondo, has said many times over the years that he will get pictures with other wrestlers, which used to be taboo, but he stopped caring about that. He'll take the picture with people that are on shows with him because he'll have those memories forever. He'll be able to look at the pictures and remember the times. Is that something that you've done very much in your career, gone out and taking pictures with people that are on shows with you, or is it something that you don't do a lot of right now?
So I'm one of those people, I usually take people if it, like, pops up in my head. Like, if Mouse is set up and there's someone near me, I'll, like, grab them and take pictures with them. Like, I did it with Sonico at the Collective, and I also did it with Joshua. I can't say his his last name, and he gets mad at me, but it starts with a W. But I did it with them, and then also, like, for, like, whenever I have a match that is, like, special to me, I get a flyer designed, and I have me and my opponent sign them, and we, like, hang them up on the wall in my room, so, like, not in my room, in my house. So, like, I have one with Jordan Grace, one with Sue Young, and these are just, like, some things that have been important to me. I also have one with Solo Darling.
You mentioned Sonic. He's someone I've known since his very, very start in wrestling. I actually knew him prior to his start in wrestling, as a matter of fact. He's someone that has been starting to make the rounds. He has traveled internationally. He's done a lot of big things in the last couple of years. What was it about meeting Sonic that sparked you wanting to get a picture made with him?
So I really did not know much about Sonic until I met him up in Indianapolis when I worked at a show with him. He did a match with Sean Kemp. And after the match, we went out to Smoky Bones, me and a few other people. And this is like my first experience meeting him. And he was super nice. And then I remember just like getting to know him there. And then not getting to see him again to the Collective. And by that point, he just had grown on me. And I was like, yeah, you're a buddy. You're part of the friends.
Sonico, definitely a good kid. It's good to see him doing well in his career for sure. And I believe I was the first person to plant the seed of him going to Indianapolis, for whatever that's worth. But we're getting down to the last few minutes here on the show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to our listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, any upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything that you want, floor is all yours.
Well, all of my social media is at Billy Starks, B-I-L-L-I-E, Starks is S-T-A-R-K-Z. And, yeah, I have a big cartel. It's linked to my Twitter bio. And just support wrestling. That's all I really ask.
Well, Billy Starks, it was a pleasure having you on the show. We appreciate it greatly that you took time to be with us. And I want to wish you the very best luck in your career. And I also want to ask you to not do the sign guy bump anymore because it hurts.
No, it was fine. I'll do it again.
I will be terrified all over again if you do, but I will close my eyes if I see it coming. All right, well, thank you again for being with us. I absolutely love watching you work on the YouTubes, and hopefully we'll cross paths at some time in the future.
I hope so, too.
All right, fans, definitely get on the bandwagon of Billy Starks. She's phenomenal. She's getting better all the time, and she's got all the upside in her career at a young, young age. So get on the bandwagon early, support her, go watch her. If she's on a show near you, pick up some merchandise, support her. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Sunday we have ring announcer extraordinaire Dolly St. Clair with us. Looking forward to having her on the show. Get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling, and we will talk to you soon.